So we continue and we start something new at the same time. We've already seen four different episodes that the Gemara had. Episodes that followed on the heels of the Sugya of Lishna Malia. Episodes that spoke to ways in which the power of speech plays out. The two stories of the Trei Talmidi, and then the story of the three Kohanim. And then story number four was the story that we spent a lot of time on, the Hahu Arma. There are five more stories to come, stories 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. The last two on Gavdala and Aleph, stories 8 and 9, are very brief, and they speak about the significance of having certain turns of speech. The Gemara says, there was a fellow who was always saying, Dunu Dini. He was always saying, judge my case. I mean, he was very litigious. He was very trigger-happy with lawsuits. Everything was a lawsuit. And he said, because I'm going to sue. I mean, he always wants to sue. The guy Rashi stresses it was tumid. All the time. That was the, wasn't just like occasionally. Occasionally, a lawsuit. But all the time, that was the go-to response. The Gemara says that was an indication he comes from Sheva Dun. There you go. And the Gemara, that's story number 8. Story number 9, Hahudava Ka'ozo Va'amar Akeif Yama Sisti Birasa. Two pshatim in Rashi, exactly what he was saying, but he was always Tamid, Rashi. Once again, Rashi used the word Tamid. Always talking about the sea. He dreams of a waterfront property. So the Gemara says, if that's the way he speaks Tamid, the Badku Va'ashkechudim is Vulgasi. Turns out that he had yichus from Shevet Zavur. So the first four stories up until this point were stories about the significance of negative speech, of inelegant speech. The two stories of the two Talmidim and then the three Kohanim, Zanav HaLata'a. The fourth story was about elegant and effective, subtle speech. That was the story of the Ahu Arma. The last two stories on Dav Daled are the significance of repeated speech. The person would always say Tamid, always say Dunu Dini. He would always speak about the ocean. That speaks to Ezichus. And our focus now is on stories 5, 6, and 7. The last two stories on Gimel Amud Beis, and the opening story on Dalet Amud Aleph. The last two stories of Gimel Amud Beis are of Kahana, the death of Rav Kahana, and then Yochanan Chakukah. And then the seventh story, the top of Dalet Amud Aleph, is about Rav and Rav Chia. And what these three stories have in common is that they're not about inelegant speech, they're not about effective, elegant, subtle speech. They're not about just repeated speech. They're about negative, in the sense of sad news. Talking about sad things. Talking about SARS. That's what comes up in all three stories. Now you begin with Rav Kahana, and the story of Rav Kahana, and then you work to Yochanan Chakukah, and then the Gemara builds even further in this trio. The set of three stories, more builds even further to the story of Rav Chia. Let's take a look. So let's take a look at this set of three stories. This is going to be our focus. Our focus right now. The set of three stories about Diba. The set of three stories, but specifically speech, speaking about sad news. The first of these three stories, first in the series of three stories, Rav Kahana. What's the Gemara say? Rav Kahana chalash. Rav Kahana fell ill. Shadruha Rabbana Rav Yeshua Braid Rav Idi. Shadar Shin Dalad Resh. An important shoresh in Aramaic. It means to send, as in to send a messenger, like shalach. But not to send a letter. Shalach in Aramaic means to send a letter. Shadar means to send a person. To send a human messenger. So the Gemara says, Shadruha Rabbanan, the Rabbanim in Yeshiva sent Rabbi Yeshua, Brid Ravidi, And they say to him, Amrulay, Zil Badok, my dine. Go see how he's doing. Go see how Rav Kana, they had not heard about how Rav Kana was doing. They wanted to know, is he healthy? Did he recuperate? Not recuperate. And also, Ashachay de Nachnavshay. Yeshua, Brady of Edi, shows up in Rav Kana's tent and finds that not only is not recuperated, he's no longer alive. Passed away. He died of his illness. And he was supposed to bring back a report. So what does he do? So Kare Levushe, he tears his clothes. That's the Medina de Gemara. When the great Talmud Chacham passes away, even the non-relatives tear their clothes. Sugya in the third parak, the third and final parak of Moed Katan, Mesechus Moed Katan, is largely about Avelos. Avelos and Kriya. Officially, Mesechus Moed Katan is about Chol HaMoed, and the first two parakim of Moed Katan are largely about Hilchos Chol HaMoed. The third parak gets into the interplay of Chol HaMoed and Avelos, and then moves into just Hilchos Avelos. And the primary address of Hilchos Avelos and Hilchos Kriya is the parak Elam Megalchin, the third and final parak of Mesechus Moed Katan. They talk there about we usually practice Kriya only for relatives, but the Gemara speaks of other situations of Kriya. Even when a certain situation where a non-relative passes away, so that's what Rabbi Yeshua Breid Rabbi Edi did. He tore Kriya on the death of Rav Kana. But then, Ahadre Lekare L'Achore. That's also important shorish. Ahadre. Hey Dalad Reish. So you know that there are certain letters in Aramaic that often correspond to certain letters in Hebrew. Like a shin in Hebrew often pop up as a tough in Aramaic. Like shalosh, three is telasa, and a shar, an ox, is a tura, where it comes up often, especially in Bava Kama. So another correspondence besides shin to tough is zayin to dalid. Often a zayin in Hebrew will be a dalid in Aramaic. And one of the most common examples is hadar. Hadar is chazar. So Ahadar is like Hechazir. Ahadre, to bring back, or in this case, to turn around. It's a Lamdash word also, Ahadre. In this case, it means literally he turned it around. Ahadre Lakari Lachore. After he tore his clothes, the Gemara said that when you do proper Kriya, it's supposed to be from the, in front of the Begad, from the neck. Depending on the situation, sometimes you just tear a little bit, sometimes you tear all the way until the heart. It's supposed to be from the seam, from the next seam, down. So he did that, but then he turns his shirt, it was a robe, or there's something different. You can't wear your shirt backwards nowadays, but his shirt was made that it could be worn like a t-shirt. He tore, and then he turned it around, so that way it was inobvious. Ubachi v'yasi, and he comes back to where the Rabbanim were, comes back to Yeshiva, he's crying, but the rip wasn't visible because it was behind him. So Amrulay Nachnavshe, they said to him with a question mark, obviously. They said, did he pass away? Nachnavshe is a, speaking of euphemisms, Nachnavshe, his neshama is at rest, that's the Aramaic euphemism for he passed away. They say, Nachnavshe, if Kana passed away, they see that they're hoping to hear he's all better, and in a way they might hear he's still sick. But Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Edi walks in crying. They said, it must be even worse than we expected. He passed away. So Yeshua says, I wasn't going to say it. But you understood. I wasn't going to say it because of the Pasuk. Well, what's the Pasuk in Mishlei? That it's Kasil is a fool. Kasil is one of the very common characters in Sefer Mishlei. You hear a lot about the Chacham versus the Kasil. The Pasuk says, the Motzi Diba is someone who chooses to articulate, to express bad news, is a ksil. It's a foolish thing to do. So the Rav Yeshua didn't want to say it. And then the girl goes on to tell another story with a twist. The next story, that was story number five. Story number five was with the passing of Kana. Story number six is the story of Yochan Chakuka. This is the last story on Gimel Beis. Yochan Chakuka, Nafag Lakiriusa. Yochanan Chakuka. Tosis, Hashem and Rishonim have a debate about what does the word Chakuka mean. The Rabbeinu Chananel on the side, and quoted by Tosis, says it's like Michokei, this week's Parsha. Yosher Shevet mi Yehuda umuchokek mi bein raglav. Michokek might be a lawgiver. So Rashi says a sofer. The Rebbe Chanan says chakuka is a sofer. And then the Tosa says the reed thought that chakuka means from the city of Chakuk. Okay? Whatever it is, his name was Yochan Chakuka. Where it's true nowadays as well. If you think about last names, those who study last names, so the two of the most common sources, I think the three most common sources of last names are either the name of an ancestor, like if my name is, if I have the last name Jackson, Andrew Jackson, means that at some point there was some ancestor who had a father named Jack. That's one common source of the last name. Another common source of the last name is a profession. And the third common source of last names is the place that you live. So two of those three are represented in this machlokas Sar Rishonim. Is Yochanan Chakuka, was Chakuka named for his profession, like Smith? So he was the very famous Achron, who was named Sofer. That's the family name. The Chassam Sofer, he called the Sefer Chassam Sofer. It's a phrase from the Gemara, Chassam Sofer. But it's also because his name was Moshe. His name is Rabbi Moshe Schreiber. Schreiber is Yiddish for Schreiber is a scribe, a sofer. That's why he named it. It was a chop. The name Chassam Sofer. So either Chakuka is Schreiber, or Chakuka means he was from Chakuk. From Chakuka. So either way, Yochan Chakuka, his last name, for whatever reason, his last name was Chakuka. So this fellow, Yochan Chakuka, Nafluk Akiri, say, went out to the villages. Rashi says, why is he going to the villages? To check out the accuracy, see how the fields are doing, to see how the harvest is going. So he was sent to find that out, and he comes back. Yes, I'm relay. Yes, I knew what you see. We want to hear the news. Like in the previous story, they asked Yeshua Bray Dravidi, what's the news of Rav Kana? Now they ask Yochanan Chakuka, what's the news of the fields? How are the fields doing? I'm relay, chitin asi yafos. They said, is the wheat growing well? So Amar Lahem, Sorem Nasi Yafas, the barley is growing well. Obviously, it's supposed to chop. You know, I'm not going to comment. No comment on the wheat. Obviously, the wheat is not doing well. So he thought that's the right thing to know. Motzi Dibuk Sil. They told him no. The way they told him that was wrong is Amar Lahem. They told him Tseu Baser L'Susim V'Chamor. You can give that news. This is not Baser. This is Baser, as in Besora. Give the besor, you can give that news to the horses and the donkeys. This is barley is animal food. Barley is for the horses. With all due apologies to Jews who enjoy to bachrim who like barley, who like cholent, but lamaisa, in the period of Tanakh and Chazal saw saor. This comes up in many halachic contexts also. That barley was seen as being animal food. Whatever that says about eating chalt. Aber Lamaisa say, he says, what did I do wrong? My Havlai Lameh, the person, what do you want him to say? But that's the rule, Motzi Dibuk Sil. So he was trying to avoid it. So he spoke as Sar. What else is he supposed to say? The person said, no. He should have said either Eshtakat last year, Nasu Chitim Yafas. Well, last year's wheat harvest was good. Or Adashim Nasi Yafas. So he's going to have spoken about the lentils. He could have found some. In other words, what the Gemara is adding in the second story to the first story is, while it's true that Motzi Dibuk Huksil, you also will sometimes have to balance that with other issues of Lashon. And on the one hand, you don't want to say this year's Chitim are not doing well. On the other hand, the avoiding speaking about the Sa'orim, it's a little bit like the earlier Lishna Malya story. In other words, to speak about it's not Lishna Malya. It's like, it's natural covered. Why are you talking about that? We're asking about human food, and you're responding to talking about animal food. That's a little degrading. It's inelegant. It's a little bit degrading. Not a nivel path, but still, it's one of the lesser madrigas. So you should have figured out a way to balance both issues, to avoid, could have figured out a more creative way to avoid Motzi Diba, but also to maintain Lishna Malya. Now, as you think about this, so what should be the fundamental kasha that you ask? Think about these final two stories on Gimel and Beis. The first two of the series of three stories about Motzi Dibba. What's the overwhelming kasha? The sparring Lamed should ask. The Gemara presents a new concept. So what should you wonder? What constitutes Motzi Dibba? And perhaps even more fundamentally, what's wrong with being Motzi Dibba? What's wrong? What's wrong with saying bad things? What's wrong with saying bad news? So I think a lot of times people think that it's like a taboo. Like, you're going to say bad things in there. Makes it more likely to happen, like a klala. But the truth is that this is the in many ways, the primary sugya of avoiding saying bad news explicitly. You look at the Rishonim and look at context, it does not sound like it's a concern that by saying bad things will make bad things happen. You take a look in the Meiri. What? No, but even when it's important to say, there's still an insistence on avoiding saying bad news explicitly. So it sounds at first, you're knocking the eye, like it's like a taboo. Like, you say bad things, someone's going to like make bad things happen. Take a look at the Meiri. Then the Pasuk says, Motzi Dibba Uksil. The question of why? What's the folly in being Motzi Uksil? I understand the Pasuk. And what's the Pasuk tell? What's the nature of the Gzeiras HaKazav? What's being said? So the Meiri, it could be it's a subtle machlokas rishonim. Take a look at the Meiri. Royla Adam, and as you read this Miri, Rabbi, so show of hands, how many of you had a chance to see the Miri in Seder? Okay. Miri is on the last page of the Maamar Kama's packet. Let's copy over here. Base of the Chira la Miri. We'll read the first line, and there's already something that should be a red flag. The very last page. Royla Adam Gamkein. A person should also be careful that he's a heir. Shalom ye mezuman lebesorah shal puranas. A person should also be careful not to be so prepared for saying bad news. Like Misas Adam Gadol, the chayot of Zer. Like to speak of the death of a tzaddik, or something like that. And those are the first of the two examples. V'mshol also b'kach. And if they ask you about it, Rashai legam gein b'dvarim, you're allowed to Epkebevka. You're allowed to sort of avoid the topic and speak, unclearly, so that they'll understand it on their own, and rather than him saying it b'fesh, which is exactly what we see in both cases, that's what they're doing. And in fact, the third story also, we're going to get to, Mitzvashem, Rav Ribchi also. All three cases there, that the Miri says, here he has a name for it. You're being the gamgim. You're speaking sort of at cross purposes. Sort of avoid, you're talking circuitously, you're talking roundabout, sort of avoiding the topic, and that's appropriate. We'll see, Shulchan Aruch, they say, you shouldn't lie. You're not allowed to lie. You can't say, it's fine. Don't lie and say everything's okay. But at the same time, don't lie, but you don't have to directly say the whole truth right away. You can say in a way that they'll figure out what they need to know without saying it explicitly. Okay, so the Meiri is stating, clarifying our Gemara, laying it down, taking the stories and giving me more of a halacha l'maisa format. Here's what you should do. Any hint to the why? Any hint to the biradvar? There are two words in this Meiri that should have flagged your attention that are like mysterious. Which two words here are a little mysterious? Right near the beginning. What do you say, Binyamin? Gamken. Also. What do you mean also? Also means this is additional to what? You should also, Royal Adam Gamken, you should also be careful to not be mezuman to be speaking about Besorah. What do you mean also? So what that means is, this is a continuation of the previous topic. The last paragraph of the meeting is about the earlier on. about the Shachas Psul. The earlier, the last paragraph of the Meiri, if you look inside, inside the Meiri, was about avoiding that type of arrogant, disparaging speech that the Kohen had displayed when he said, "It's Kiznav Halak, Higiani Kiznav Halata." Oh, lizard's tail's worth of Lachapanim. So he says, you have to avoid that, the Meiri says. The Meiri says, like the previous Gemara, we normally don't check a Kohen Yichus once he's been checked once, but if he's demonstrating such terrible midos, mevunos, then we do have to look into him. And then he says, in addition to that, not only should you avoid speech that bespeaks midos raos, a midah of gaiva, a midah of a lack of respect for kadashim, you should also be careful not to be so prepared to speak bad news. So that galkein, it's important to be sensitive to the transitional words, to the connector words. The Rambam often a lefikach. You have one din, then lefikach, therefore another din. That should flag your attention. There's a relationship between these two, din. And that one word lefikach is a world that can be an entire chapter of ideas. It's giving you pshat in the second din. The second din is rooted in the first. See here too, the Meiri's Gamkein is saying that this Gemara, the Motzi Diba, is sort of like another, it's parallel to the Shachas Psul. In other words, it sounds like the Meiri is saying it's let's continue. His language, the next line, Shelo Yehi Mezuman LeBesorah Shel Peronis. Interesting language. I shouldn't be prepared for news of something terrible news. Well, I shouldn't be prepared. You shouldn't be prepared to say it. He said, I shouldn't be prepared to say it. And even if Sholo Sobekach, I shouldn't be initiating it. And even if they ask me, I have the right to not really answer directly. So what I mean, I shouldn't be mazum. I think what the Meir is saying is like, I shouldn't be primed for this. It's probably also a subtle midara. You're so interested in saying bad news. Some people are, and many people are. Many people love talking about negativity. There are sad things in the world, and sometimes they have to be discussed. But I shouldn't be mezuman. I shouldn't be racked and ready. I should not be primed to be sharing bad news. If there's bad news that has to be shared, you share it. But I shouldn't be an expressing a certain midah. In other words, I shouldn't be such a negative person. I shouldn't be so focused on the negatives. Like the Rambam writes in the beginning of the last paragraph of Hilchos Deos, that just to be talking constantly about other people is itself a level of rechilus. Even though I'm not saying anything negative, but constantly talking about people, that's already a problem. You sit and gossip on people all day long, that's the problem. I should be focused on ideas. I shouldn't be focused on people. I shouldn't be gossiping about people, even if the gossip is neutral. So here we're saying, I shouldn't be the kind of guy who's always ready with some bad news to share. Don't be that guy. That bespeaks a chesaron in midos. If there's news that needs to be shared, so you share it as delicately as possible. And so it speaks both to the elegance. I think the way the Meir is presenting it is that it clearly it's a midos issue, it relates back to the avoiding the midara before you had the midara of shachatz psul of gaiva of disparagement. Now it's the midara of being overly focused on the negative, and perhaps also speaks to the elegance of the previous story, the elegance of Yehuda ben Beseira with his subtlety. Should be a subtle person. You should use your subtlety to avoid being so negative. Even when there's negative news that has to be shared, your default should not be sharing negativity. Sometimes it's relevant to share negativity. Okay, so then you'll share it in an indirect way. And that will enhance and cultivate my midah tova of not being focused on the negative. Not that I avoid the negative, I'm not unrealistic. I know there are negative things that happen in the world, but I shouldn't be overly focused on the negative. I should not be, as he said, Mezuman lebrisor shal prana. That shouldn't be pouring. That should not be my go-to. Let me tell you bad news. And again, if you're medayik, it sounds like it means I shouldn't be jumping to offer it, to initiate. And even if they ask me, it's appropriate to be delicate and subtle in the way that I share that news. Even if you ask me, I could be roundabout, and maybe you'll understand. I should try to avoid sharing the sorara because of what it does to my midos. That's the miriam. But which Rishon disagrees? What's Rashi hold up? What? What did you say? Lashon Kalala. Good. Where does he explain? It's two words. He has a two word. Right there, the last line, right, in the Yochan Chakukah story, he didn't want to say a Dvar Klala. Why? Why? So in the previous story, he explains. But it's very subtle. It's very easy to miss it. In the story of Kahana, can you find a two-word explanation of why Yeshua ben Idi, Rabbi Idi, was trying to avoid telling them directly Rav Kahana passed away? The Yetze Liban, very good. It's a Rashi's a Hadre Lekari Lachore, Dimamaschal Hadre. And he turned he had to tear Kriya, but then he turns the shirt around after the Kriya. Shalo Yavinu Maher Lehedya. So they shouldn't notice the two adverbs. They shouldn't understand Maher Lehedya. They shouldn't understand quickly and directly. He was trying, it was about them, it wasn't about him. He didn't want, it wasn't just about speech, it was even the carriage being obvious, so they shouldn't understand immediately, they shouldn't understand directly why the Yetzei Libam. They're going to feel terrible, it's going to throw them. In other words, he wanted to break the news to them slowly. In other words, Rabbi said, those two words, the Yetzei Libam, L'chora, I think, Machlokas Miri and Rashi, I would say, I think the sharpest way to put it, the Rabbi Magdir is according to Meiri, this din of Motzi Diba is a din in Ben Adam Li'atzmo, to use Rabbi Yisrael Salantos Nusach. Well, in terms of Tikkun Amidos, the type of person, I have to develop myself, I have to have a certain development of character, and becoming sensitive about not oversharing bad news, and not jumping to share bad news, and seeking to avoid sharing bad news, to share it as indirectly as possible, Meiri says that will develop midos tovos. It'll develop a realistic, balanced focus on the positive. The Rashi says it's a b'nam l'chaveiro. It's also the other people. I have to break the news to them slowly, like in last week's parsha. And that was an extreme. To tell Yaakov, there was good news. But they were worried about what the shock would do to Yaakov Avinu. That was an extreme case. Yaakov had thought for 20 years that his son had passed away. Now he discovers actually that's not the case. So that they're worried about the shock. So, this maybe wasn't as extreme, but still, he was worried about what the news would do to them, so he wanted to break it to them gradually. It's not so much I shouldn't say, but by doing it either gradually he had he hit the Kriya, or Yohan Chakuka, you know, I'll tell you about the Sahorim, not so much what I shouldn't say, but I want you to sort of come to on your own so the information can settle in more gradually. So that Lachar is a Machlokas Meiri and Rashi, I think, whether this is a Din B'Yom HaChavero, according to Rashi, or the Din B'Yom HaAtzmo in Tikkun Amidos, according to the Meiri, and the Meiri's approach seems to be, as he points out, it fits more into the overall flow of the sugya. We're talking different types of sensitivity to language that speak, express, and cultivate different types of midos tovos and midos rovs. Now, this appears in Shulchan Aruch as well, which is both good, but also opens some more questions. Take a look, this did actually appears in Hilchos Avelos. Simon, the second to last Simon in Yaradea, the last 70 or so Simonim in Yaradea are about Hilchas Avelos. So this is the very end, the last Simon in Yaradea. Yaradea goes for 403 Simonim. This is 402. Taf Beis. The very end, the last sif. Taf Beis. If your days, based on the upcoming story, the third story of Rav and Rav Chiya. Let's see for now the beginning and the end of this sif. Mishameis lo meis, again, Shulchan Aruch, Simen Taf Beis, if your days. The circled yud days. Paragraph yud days. Mishameis lo meis. A person lost a relative. Lo no da lo. He doesn't know. He doesn't know they lost a relative. Eino chova, shiomer lo. We're not mukhaif to tell him. Even if it's a parent. That's going to be the next story, which we'll get to much next time. Rav needs to tell Rav Chiya that Rav Chiya had lost multiple relatives. But he doesn't want to say it directly. The Gemara doesn't say Beferish, but Shulchan Aruch is saying that this third story is also based on what the Gemara said explicitly in the first two stories, Moti Dibuhu Ksil. That's what's animated the third story as well. At the same time, he says that they will skip for now the middle line. At the same time, you're not mechayev to tell him the bad news, but you're also not allowed, if he asks you directly, you can't lie and say he's fine. You can't lie and say he's still alive. If they ask you, you got to say the truth. Shana midvar sheker tirchak. Midvar sheker tirchak. And this is based on a... Hagos Maimini, which is also in the Maram Makamos, the Constantine edition of Hagos Maimini, is the source of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, on the one hand, on the other hand, you're not mechuyev to say because the Motzi Dibuk Zil, but if they ask you, you cannot lie. The Pesachei Tshuva on the bottom even says, to such an extent, that their two brothers were meeting each other, one knew that they had lost a sister, the other one didn't know. The Pesachei Tshuva goes to Shaila. Is the brother who knows, is he allowed to temporarily stop keeping some halachas of avelos so as not to let the other brother know? Wild. The problem is, Rabbi Osai, that in stories 5 and 6, the first two stories here, the story of Rav Kahana and the story of Yachar Chakukah, there's no nafkamina. It was just a shayla. Should I tell you? Should I not tell you? They say Moti Dibu Ksil. Either from the point of view, either it's a din in the sayer or it's a din in the audience. According to Miri, it has to do with the tikkun amidas of the speaker. According to Rashi, it has to do with the speaker's care and concern for the audience. The problem is, though, that here this has halachic teeth. That's the story number 7, Rav and Rav Chiya. I'm not going to tell you. And again, in the story of Rav and Rav Chiya, which we'll learn inside next time, he ultimately tells him, but he's inobvious about it. Shulchan Aruch is even saying, based on the Haggadah Maimini, that you're allowed to even withhold the information entirely. Why? Motzi Dibuhu Ksil. So the problem with that... Again, that's Hagos Maimini right here. The Constantine edition of Hagos Maimini, which in the Franco-Rambam is published in the back. It says, you're not mechuyev to say, and he quotes our Gemara, Psachim Dav Dalam and Alf. And he says, Rav Chiya asked him, so then Rav told him a little bit. Sounds like Rav Chiya wouldn't have asked him, wouldn't have said anything. The question is, one second. And that's a Miri answer, right? You shouldn't be running to tell. Even if they ask you, you could give an indirect answer. The question is, one second. If it's about how the wheat is doing, is one thing. If it's about how's the Talmud Chacham I'm going to do, is one thing. But here, wait a minute, I'm not going to tell you, because Jew has a Chiva Velus. It's not someone I care to know the Talmud Chacham is still alive. This is a relative. You're not going to tell this fellow that he lost a sibling. You're not going to tell the fellow he lost a parent. How are you talking? Isn't there a Chiva Velus? I understand. If I walk in, you're eating a sandwich, and I know that sandwich is treif, I have the right to just not tell you. You're about to do something wrong. You got food from the restaurant. You didn't know that the restaurant had a good hashgacha until 2 weeks ago. But 2 weeks ago, they lost the hashgacha. There was a problem, an unresolved problem, a real cautious concern, and the restaurant is no longer acceptable. You obviously didn't know, and you're eating a sandwich from that restaurant. Come out! I have the right to not tell you? I have to tell you. Certainly, if you're open to be makabela, I have to tell you, it's not kosher. So what does this mean? Moti dibu ksil is very nice, but I have the right to not tell you that you have a chiva avelus? To give a far more mundane example. I get up in the morning, I get up in my dorm room, I get up, I can start with wash negras, I get ready to get myself dressed and head out to Daven Shachris. My roommate is still sleeping. So if there are multiple Shachris minyanim, okay. So then maybe he'll get up later. But if I know this is the last Shachris minyan, so I don't have the right to just let him sleep. He has to get up for Shachris too. I have to even order him. So what does it mean to hear? I have this Jew, I know that he lost a relative. I know that he's a chiyuv avelus. What does that mean that I have the right to just not tell him? So that's the problem that we're going to have to pick up with the Mirtz Hashem next time. And speaking about Motzi Diba, this is probably not a fire, but it is a fire drill.